Good morning. You're listening to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is John Ball, who's managing director at Stifel Nicolaus. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Good morning to you, Kemp.
Are you staying cool up there in Richmond?
No, we've had, I believe, 8 or 9 plus 100 degree days this summer, which sets an all-time record. So we're right there with all the Georgians.
Yeah, it's tough right now, but we hope there's some relief on the horizon. I wanted to talk to you about second quarter numbers. Everybody's reported in. I know we had one definite shining star. Maybe we should start talking about them. Interface did very well. Here we've got a company that's up, you know, revenue's up 7.2% year over year, beating your estimate. They focus on the commercial market. Why don't you give us a little rundown on them?
Well, yeah, and, you know, in the context of a still very difficult end market for them, obviously the vast majority of the business is non-residential, and that market has turned down, usually lags what residential does, so it's been more negative year-to-date than residential, which is more or less flat now, and yet they posted some significant gains, not just here, but in Europe as well, which is a real pleasant surprise given some of the challenges facing some of those countries. So it was just a standout performance. Obviously, we know that tile is taking share from Broadloom, and that explains part of it, but I'd have to think, and it's very hard to get tile data, but I'd have to think that within the tile category itself, they did exceedingly well.
Yeah. One comment on that, I do occasionally talk to the folks at Shaw, and their tile numbers are up too. So if they're taking share, it's not from the other big guys.
Well, and that's frankly been a theme, I think, the last 5 or so years. Both Shaw and Interface have done well.
Yeah. Well, John, what is your view of where the commercial market is and its recovery cycle, say, versus the residential market?
Well, 70% out of our economy is driven by the consumer. So it stands to reason that when the consumer gets healthy and starts spending, obviously residential is driven, and then that creates increased profits and other things that leads to demand on the commercial side. So it's very normal to see the commercial business cycle lag the residential cycle. And, of course, we know how hard the residential cycle went down, and so then the commercial followed for somewhat different reasons. There were a lot of financing issues on the commercial properties and construction. We've since seen challenges with state and local governments and budgetary pressures everywhere also playing a role in commercial. But it's not at all unusual to see a lag. I would hope that the commercial side of the world is in the process of bottoming, not new construction, but certainly the replacement renovation piece should be bottoming in the second half of this year, and that's the majority of the market. New construction is a smaller piece. So, you know, maybe we're looking at a flat, slightly up outlook for 2011 for commercial.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to Armstrong. We've got a lot going on there. We've got a new CEO. We've got McKinsey poking around. We've got TPG still in the driver's seat. Looks like ceilings is really what performed. Tell me what your analysis is on that.
Yeah, well, that's where all the profits are coming from. You know, the hardwood side, flooring side of the business is still challenged, not only on a unit demand basis, and yet we've seen this rampant inflation in lumber costs, which is, seems like we've dealt that with that in carpet in a sense, too, where we've had weak demand and dramatically rising raw material costs, which it doesn't persist over time. Something's got to give on that front, but that's what's been facing Armstrong on the hardwood flooring side in the first half of this year. We've also seen some pressures on plasticizers and resins affecting their vinyl profitability. So, you know, if you looked at the volume piece on flooring, it's better, less bad, I guess is how I describe it.
Right.
But margins have been pinched by escalating raw materials in the first half of the year. They've responded with price increases. A lot of those, however, really are going into effect as we speak.
Yeah. You know, we get a lot of our data from Santo Tursivia, who does a pretty good job in forecasting where he thinks the market's going to go. And if you look at his estimates for what the hardwood business is going to do as the market starts to recover, he shows it picking up share. And here's the market leader in hardwood. So, you know, long range, the outlook is probably pretty good for them, wouldn't you say?
Yes. I think, you know, going into the downturn, what, 4 years ago now, the new residential construction piece of hardwood flooring was at least half the market.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've gone from a peak of housing starts, essentially 2 million, to 1/4 of that.
Mm-hmm.
and yet that number is bottomed. I mean, we're actually year-to-date up in housing starts. As disappointing as the housing market's been, that number is finally trending up. So, you know, if we just got back halfway, you know, if we got back to housing starts of a million, you're looking at a dramatic increase in activity from where we are today, and that will accrue to the hardwood flooring benefit. Also, hardwood's a expensive product in terms of flooring choices, and like everything we've seen in this downturn, people are pinched and they're saving, and if they have to get flooring, they're in many cases buying less expensive flooring. So one would assume that a more normal or typical environment will see some mixed trade back upwards, and that would also help the wood category.
Well, another trend we're seeing in the wood area is that we're seeing domestically sourced species that look exotic. And then on the engineered side, you've got a little bit less costs going into it. So the consumer, when they start to warm back up and they start to look at the look that they can get and what they're going to have to pay for it, this downturn has, I believe, improved the price or the look you can get.
Yeah, engineered, of course, has less material and I think has some advantages over solids. Mm-hmm. And this recession has caused everyone to sharpen their pricing, and it's a better value for the consumer. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's still an expensive product, and consumers are still on strike.
Right. So you've got them, you're at a target of 50 with them, which is still a buy, I guess.
Obviously, I'm like many of my stocks, I'm looking out, and I think, as we talked about, there's a huge upside in flooring revenues from where we sit over, say, a 2 to 4 year time frame. And in the meantime, the ceilings business is extremely profitable, and it's probably near the bottom of the cycle as well. So there's this huge cost cutting effort. They've identified $150 million of cost savings they hope to achieve over the next several years. And you've got new ownership, as you talked about, involved with TPG. And I think they've got a pretty bright future. And in the meantime, a net cash balance sheet generating cash and very profitable thanks to the ceilings business.
Okay, let's go to we talk about this one first because they're the big giant, but Mohawk Industries, a little bit of a surprise with their Yunlin business being up worldwide.
Yeah, I think that was the surprise, and that's always the toughest one for us to forecast. Perhaps it is for them, too, but partially because it's another part of the world, but it's such a high-margin business, and when volumes fluctuate, it can impact profitability immensely. But that was the surprise of the quarter here again. Europe was relatively strong. So we've read all these horrible headlines about the euro and the Greece situation and all the concerns over there, yet many of those markets are showing material increases year over year and performing better than the U.S. market. So I think that was encouraging. I also think the Daltile performance being only down low single digits in revenues, given the fact that that market is 40% commercial, and I know that market's down substantially still. That was a very strong performance as well.
Yeah, and while we're talking about them, we got to talk about carpet and pricing. I mean, they passed through a price increase recently, and that should help the mix moving forward, and I'm sure you've probably got that factored in.
Yeah, we of course had two increases in the first half of the year, the second one being much larger, and it would appear that we hit the weakness in the economy in sort of mid-May, and it was right when that increase was going through. So volumes really fell off. I know there's some buying forward in front of the increase, but volume really fell off, and there seemed to be, towards the end of the quarter at least, some competition, i.e. lower prices being offered by some of the carpet manufacturers. It would look to me like Mohawk held on to their pricing, and while that benefited their margin significantly, they lost some share, it looked like, if you look at the CRI numbers relative to Q2. We'll see. They mentioned on their conference call that they're going to have some sharper promotional pricing in the third quarter. I'm sure they have no desire to lose market share. I think it's also worth noting in the carpet side, we've seen this tremendous transition out of staple. It's affected their product lineup, and they've dropped SKUs while they're having some success with Smart Strand. I'm not sure if you looked at just their SKU count that wasn't down. That may influence a little bit the volume comparison.
I didn't get a chance to listen to their conference call. Did they bring up anything about this, what we're calling the home center wars that's coming up, with Invista taking Stainmaster out of Home Depot and Lowe's having it? It sounds to me like there's going to be an ad play to the consumer starting this fall. Actually, it's already started, where some people estimate that close to $40 million will be promoting flooring through the home centers.
Well, the home centers have really gotten aggressive in the last couple of years. I think it began with that low installation for the whole home promotion, which was very effective in driving traffic. It's a quandary. Obviously, everybody wants the business, but the margins there tend to be a little bit sharper. But, look, it helps to have anybody advertising carpet. So I think net-net, it's good that the home center chains are interested in growing this category. They've been very aggressive. And when they've run these promotions, they've driven volume. So to the extent we can get still a little bit of pricing through in that channel of distribution and we run more volume, that would be a good thing for everyone.
Yeah. And, yeah, they still don't do as well in carpet. While they may have somewhere between 23 to 25% of flooring sales, they only have about 15% of carpet sales because, you know, there's issues with installation. So.
Yeah, it's a complex sale, and I think, you know, the stack it high, let it fly mode of operation doesn't really apply for carpet. There's a lot more customer handling, if you will, and that's tougher for them to execute.
Yeah, well, just last thing, we're about to run out of time, but from your vantage point, as we look forward, you hear all kinds of crazy stuff from the sensational consumer media. What do you think the outlook is out there?
Yeah, I guess the good news, Kemp, is we've come down so far and so hard in the past 4 years, and certainly the flooring industry. You know, we're 4 years now anniversarying here in August, the double-digit declines that we began to see in August of 2006 in carpet. And so I guess the glass half full argument is it's just hard to go lower from here. And I think we're seeing that in some of the year-to-date numbers. Having said that, that doesn't mean we're going to take off. And until the consumer's balance sheet is much healthier, until incomes rise, and particularly consumer confidence rises, I think there are a lot of policies in place that are giving consumers cause for concerns. You've seen the savings rate increase. That's good long range, but doesn't bode well for short-term spending. So very disappointed by the sort of reversal we've seen in the consumer attitude in the last 2 to 3 months. It seemed like once the housing tax credit went away, everybody realized how false the housing recovery was and how many issues we still have with foreclosures. I know we've talked about this on prior calls. Yeah, the bottom line is we still have a very tenuous situation in the housing market and a consumer who's still over-levered and really can't access credit, and their ability to buy, therefore, is a direct link to their incomes going up, and that's not happening. So there's no reason to really think business is going to take off unless something changes to get income in the form of tax reductions or actual job growth.
Well, I think you said a lot of it's sentiment. With no telling what's going to trigger that. Hopefully the weather will cool, and maybe even some of this home center wars will get people thinking about their flooring. So.
Yeah, it is sentiment, and that's important on the margin. But, we've got a consumer that still is struggling to put food on the table. Mm-hmm. And that makes a lot of these discretionary purchases back burner. You know, we need incomes to go up, or we need the confidence and or ability to borrow to go up for there to be an appreciable change in spending levels.
Okay, John, well, I appreciate you spending time with us, and our listeners have been talking again to John Ball, who's Managing Director with Stifel Nicolaus, and you've been listening to Kemp Haar in FloorDaily.net.